Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
Okay, just really busy, but with good things.
I thought we were going to talk today.
I know, but I didn't have time today, but tomorrow Tony's going to be walking around, I think somewhere around 12:31 at the hospital, so if I could call you then. We had to leave twice today, and I've been on the phone, and I haven't gotten anything done, and I have a list of things. I'm making me a list, if that's
not
okay with you. Okay, good.
Yes, but I want you to realize that you've got a lot done. All those things you did today that you don't think are important are.
Oh, they are important. I've had a friend, we have been teachers together in different schools for, since the 70s. I considered her one of my best friends, if not my best friend, but she's very Baptist. And she called me and wanted a Pentateuch, a Torah portion, and so I led her through ordering one through Amazon and set her up on a few things. She's not ready for Kabbalah yet, but I'll get her one day. Since you changed or helped me come to the name of Batya, I'm telling you, I'm seeing all kinds of things happening. Hours with Brandy and, Marie is still, asking questions. So it's been a very busy but very fruitful. My daughter was in an accident, didn't get hurt. My grandson, who has been a hermit since he graduated from high school, went to see a psychiatrist yesterday. I can't tell you how long we have waited for a breakthrough on that. Just all kind of good things, and it's supposed to be negative right now.
No. The negative doesn't start till next week.
Well, it's still Tammuz. But anyway, I was pleased.
There's a positive aspect to Tammuz.
I'm seeing the results of my meditations. I guess that's really what I ought to tell you. That's what I'm seeing.
And
you play a part in all of it, so. And I just got home. It's like I just get home in time to maybe tune in. So that's also good.
Yeah. Well, let's go read this section that I've been wanting to read for a while.
Okay.
We're reading from the Zohar section 4. Gather all members of the yeshiva to study the trial. Verse 20. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kononeh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kononehu V'ha'ahu Rucha Devar Nash Salka Ayin Yud Ditre Mimanan Kevan Dial Tari L'gabeichad Amuda D'shalchova Melachata D'kaima Taman diazvin berucha diauzeira dinashiv behahu amuda vekama inun disalkin lon tamyan begin dekal inun demishtadle beoraita Chacheva Kidushin Miad Achdu Legabe Benem Tita Inun Milin Kidain Po Inun Benem Tita Advan Mechemele Inun Tirain Mana Nachin Besalkin Le Lehahu matik pipsa dirkia miyad kariv legabe ahu amudad aglim aman. The spirit of the person is raised up by two appointees. As it enters, it approaches to stand next to a pillar of glowing flame that stands there and gets covered in the air of the wind that blows in that pillar. And now many that are raised up there, Rabbi Ashlag tells us that there's a section missing here. Since all those who study Torah and have new insights within her, those items immediately get written and recorded for those members of that yeshiva. Then all the members of the yeshiva come to see him, and those two appointed mentioned above exit and raise him up above to the yeshiva of the firmament. He immediately approaches next to that pillar mentioned above, where he gets dressed in that garment which is mentioned above. This section is referring to what happens after the soul leaves the body permanently. I shouldn't say permanently, only until the resurrection. The body-soul combination has changed their relationship. The body goes into the ground to return to the dust, and the soul goes into its judgment, and that's what's being discussed here. If someone had studied Torah and revealed new insights into the Torah, what is being described in this verse is what happens to that soul. Because those new insights are significant, and any new insight, no matter how simple or we think is not real important, any new insight is important. And when that soul goes into the upper worlds, it's clothed in significant white garments. It's treated royally. It stands next to a pillar, but the pillar it represents the central column. It represents the pathway to elevate to a higher level of consciousness for the soul. And whatever new chiddush, whatever new statement about the Torah, revelation of the Torah, is being read in the yeshiva, in Shemayim, in heaven. And depending on how they evaluate the chiddush, it may be elevated to a higher level of the firmament. The yeshiva of the firmament. This is a higher level of consciousness. And the soul elevates up that pillar to that place where the new chiddush, the new revelation, is described again. That's what this verse is saying. Verse 21. Leila kaka yeut zaka ihu kama itrin menatsan atrin le kol bene metivta ve imila ahara hava vav leilahu kisufa tachyan leilavar vakayim Goya muda adiale leledina rachamana lasheesvan. After dressing in those garments, he enters into the yeshiva, and the members of the yeshiva observe him. If the members of new insight, if the matters of new insight are appropriate, he will be blessed. All the members of the session will adorn him with mixed laurels. If it is something else, meaning to say that it does not follow the path and manners of sanctity, woe to him. For that embarrassment and shame, they give him a pat, a push, and stands next to the pillar that's mentioned above until they bring him in for trial and judgment. May the merciful one save us. Well, obviously, the pillar is not what I thought it was. or maybe it is. And standing next to it, hope for the soul. Because it wants to elevate, but because the new revelation that it taught is going against holiness, is really connecting people to the other side through the mistake being made. Standing next to the pillar may be painful for it. It's a sense that it wants to go up, but it made some mistakes in this world and cannot achieve it. And it has to stand next to the pillar until its judgment has come. Please remember, there's no time in that world. Verse 22. Ve'id aharani v'sal kin lon taman tat shabarich v'if lukta v'ivnei v'mitivta v'yamre man ha'apoloni v'yokach mila g'dein zalkin Leitiman obi ahumi la bain kuchabri hu bain benaim yuta ita haranin in lon taman ita bedaini le an bavara lon dina lon. There are others that get raised up there when the Holy One, blessed be He, is in a dispute with the members of the session, but the item is permissible or prohibited. They say, who shall decide this law? There is so-and-so, the wise man of this world. Let him come and decide this matter, how to carry out the law. And they raise that wise man up above there, and he proves decisively by evidence that legal dispute between the Holy One, blessed be He, and the members of the yeshiva. There are others that get raised up there for trial, and they get judged there to refine and purify them. But this is saying that that pillar is correct, that standing next to it is painful to the soul. But if the revelation that the person has revealed in his life, that new revelation, he can now become as high as being the judge that evaluates the mechlochets between the Hashem and the Tzaddikim. Because that any kind of disagreement between Hashem and the Tzaddikim is seeking truth. And he will be asked to help decide. But it's not like he can just say, oh, I'm the judge and I make the decisions. He needs to evaluate what the arguments are. And then he needs to bring proof. Proof from the Torah, proof from life, proof from witnesses. And he will have access to all the witnesses. As though Moses and Joshua and some of the prophets, Isaiah, I believe, called heaven and earth to witnesses for them. And this righteous person who has been able to reveal Torah that no one else throughout history has revealed, this person is bringing witnesses, which may even be heaven and earth, but certainly will be the inanimate objects around people, because they take down the notes. They remember all the words. Even our own bodies do that for us, and we have access to our own bodies to bring and search for truth, which is what this verse is describing, this argument between Hashem and the Tzaddikim. Verse 23. Al-Rabiya say, Amar Hayi, I think Hiya, Bila Dina Eat Bitar Barnash Vistala, Mehai Alma Vi Bidina Istalak Amai, Itan Zimna Aharina Al Haki Olfane. Ulfana, the Haki Shimana, the Havadai, the Dina, Istalak Barnash, Mehai, Alma, Alval, Adla, Yehu, Lim, Fitzathon, the Tzadikaya, Zalka, Le, Ludina, the Taman, Itan, Behahu Matipta Dirkiya. Rabbi Yosef said to him, if so, it would seem that a person leaves and departs this world without trial judgment. If he does depart by trial, that is, he already was judged above, why then is he on trial a second time in the yeshiva of heaven? He replied to him, that is the way I was taught and heard. It is definite that a person who departs from this world gets judged. However, prior to entering to be among the righteous, he gets raised up for a second trial, for a decision in that yeshiva of the firmament. Clearly, the trials are for two different purposes. There are two trials. One is to determine if it's time and for the process of death to take place, for him to leave the world. And now the second trial is relating to his expertise and his relating to his consciousness. Where does he live? Where does he go in the next world? Where is his relationship to the other tzaddikim? Is he higher or is he lower? Because in the spiritual world, it is a hierarchy. We live in a world, and in the Western world especially, where we've been taught that it's everything is supposed to be equal. But in the spiritual world, it's not about equality. In the spiritual world, it is a hierarchy of what and who. But it's not that that hierarchy will generate a jealousy. It may generate an attitude in someone who says, wow, this guy is going to be higher than me. I want to go back down into the world and earn more. I want to compete. I want to grow more. Not compete in a negative sense, but it motivates a desire to grow. It motivates a desire to come back into the world, even though the man is righteous, or he wouldn't be in the yeshiva of the firmament. He's righteous, but he can become more righteous. But there is this concept of hierarchy in the spiritual worlds, not in the context of our world as we understand it, but in where people are in their consciousness, in their closeness to the Creator. Verse 24. Vitaman kayama ahu memana tekeinom Vyasta a zaka a ihu man dzaveke indina Ilavahu mimana tekeinom Natil le bishata de masrin le bido unikla le mitaman tata kiman de mikla avna bekus pita dikti ve et nefesh O Yevecha Yekal Ana Betoch Kach Hakala Begomer Veshade Ele Legehinom Bekabil Omche Gefum Ma Deita. At the yeshiva of the firmament stands the appointee of Gehinom to prosecute. Praised is the one who was found guiltless in that trial. If not, that appointee of Gehinom takes him when they hand him over to him and slings him downward like someone who hurdles a stone with a sling, as it is written, "And the souls of your enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the hollow of a sling." The appointee throws him into Gehinom, and he receives his punishment corresponding to his sentence. Please understand that this English translation, even though it was done by Michael Berg, it wasn't done by Michael Berg. He supervised it. This word punishment, there's no such thing as punishment and reward. There's only cause and effect. And we need to remember that. So if we read, even in an English translation of the Zohar, coming from people who are very high spiritually, even they will give you words that are going to corrupt your consciousness. And you have to be on guard for this. The rest of the verses is very clear. He's saying that the court, yeshiva, the firmament, consists of the prosecutor, which is Satan, and this person who is considered righteous, and his job is to reconcile between the search for the truth in the argument between the Tzaddikim and Hashem. And the prosecutor is there to argue the case the other way. And in the course of what he does and what he says and how he says it, if certain things come to light indicating that there's cleansing that needs to be done, he will be handed over to Satan. Go to Gehinom. Not that we need to fear Gehinom, because hell is a better place than this physical world. This is a statement that comes in the Zohar. Hell is a place where people cleanse, and they know why they're cleansing. They know what they did in this world that requires the cleansing. While in this world, they become cleansed through pain and suffering. They become cleansed through mistakes. But this idea, they don't really know why it's happening. This is a very significant difference. And what makes Gehinom, the world of hell, a better place than our world. Verse 25. Tachatzi v'yaraini et Yehoshua HaKohen Agadol omed lifnei malach v'gomer Nisalikule v'dina goy havu mativta Birkiya v'sha'ata v'it petar mehai Alma omed lifnei Malach Hashem da Ruhahu na'ar Resh mativ da Dihu chatif Hatif Dina al kola. Come and see. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of Hashem. Means that they have raised him up above for trial within the yeshiva of the firmament, after he was gone from the world, standing before the angel of Hashem. That is the same youth, meaning the angel Memtef, that is called youth, who is the head of the yeshiva in the yeshiva of heaven. And he pronounces the sentence over everything. Doesn't say that he makes the judgment. He pronounces the sentence. But that attitude of, I don't want to listen to my judgment, that attitude of him pronouncing the sentence is what makes the angel of Hashem, Memtef, considered by many to be a negative angel, God forbid. It's really this idea that he pronounces the judgment, because most people are afraid of judgment. And this is something that we need to cleanse from ourselves and from our consciousness. We pursue judgment. We look for mercy. But if we're judging ourselves, well, the mercy of Hashem. This is a major teaching that needs to be implemented in our lives. Does anybody have any questions? That's the end of the section.
I thought the angel, I don't know if we say his name, but Memtef, was actually Enoch, and then the other angel, Elijah, is
Sandal Pump.
I didn't know if you were supposed to say their names. I remember.
You can say Memtef. We're not supposed to name.
Okay.
Sandal Pump is a Hebrew word. Memtef is a Greek word.
Well, years ago, when
Metatron.
Yeah.
But we're not supposed to say it. The reason we're not supposed to say it has to do with holiness. But it's also, I don't know if you've heard my teachings about the angels. They are somewhat different, but they're taken from Rabbi Bar Sadak's teachings.
I had ordered his series on Memtef, but I haven't listened to him. I ordered them maybe a year ago. Came by email attachment, but I've not had a chance to, you know, to listen.
Welcome to the rest of us.
I know. Well, he had a special, and that's when I got them. And like I say, I haven't had a chance yet. They're sitting on my desktop, though. I'll get to it.
I understand. The Memtef, all of the angels, there are 10 races of angels. And that's the operative word. Just as there is the human race, there's a race of angels. So the one of the races of angels is called Michael, Mikhail. One is Gabriel, one is Uriel, and so forth. One is the Ophanim. Now, there's a teaching in Kabbalah that is not well understood nor even well realized, and that is that in order to go from one world to another world, there must be a connecting link. So, for example, to go from the world of the inanimate to the world of the plants in our world, I mean, I'm using world, so it's a little confusing, but in our world, we have four levels, human, animal, plant, and inanimate. So to go from the level of the inanimate to the level of the plant, there needs to be a connecting link, some species that has attributes of both worlds. And in that case, the Zohar teaches us that the coral reefs, the coral is an animal that has, not an animal, but a plant that has aspects of the inanimate. And therefore, it's that connecting link. And between plants and animals, there is a dog species in Australia, we are told. I've not confirmed this, but the person who told me this said he did confirm it. That there's this dog species in Australia that has an umbrella, umbilical cord that goes into the ground like a plant, but gives him 20 to 50 meters of roaming ability. He can't lift the umbilical out of the ground. It gives him his nourishment. He doesn't have to, you know, fight or kill anything to eat. But he, he can move like an animal, and yet he is connected to that space where his umbilical. And then the next level between animal and man, the Zohar says it is the monkey that is that connecting link. The monkey has certain aspects of man, but it is definitely not a man. And it has that connecting link. So this is true between human beings and angels. Because a human being, while in this world, is a child, as metaphorically speaking. And the human being is going to grow to a level of consciousness higher than the angels. And in order to facilitate that process, there needs to be this connecting link. And that's where these two men, Hanoch ben Yared and Elijah the prophet, or I should say Eliyahu Hanavi, Elijah the prophet. These two men have made the connecting links between the angels associated with the world of Yetzirah for Elijah and the world of Briah for Hanoch. So should they go and live with these species of angels on their worlds? Or did they become part of them? Did they lay out their consciousness? And so the plan of Hashem utilizes their wisdom in its implementation. You know, there's many different ways of understanding this. So it's not that you are not wrong in what you've been taught. There's just more than what you've been taught.
Well, back in the 80s, when I was teaching, my first exposure to that particular angel was that he was in charge of the children. And so I used to always think at the beginning of the year, okay, you got to help me with this group. You know, when you've got 34 little six-year-olds in a class.
The reason they say he's in charge of the children is because he's referred to as a youth in the Torah and in the Zohar. The reason he's referred to as a youth is because relative to the 10 generations that he's part of between Adam and Noah, he left the earliest, 365 years. But, of course, the 365 is a code to speak to us about the word of the solar year, which is another reason why he has this duality of really being positive and also negative, because he brings judgment. Because the solar year is coming from the sun, but it's not a year, it's not a shana, because the shana is based on the lunar cycle. So it's all interconnected. Are there any other questions? Everybody, I wish you a beautiful afternoon and a wonderful evening, and I hope you'll join us for the class tonight at 8:30.
Okay. Thank
Shalom.
You. Bye-bye.